Parshat Tetzaveh, we know, deals primarily, at the least the beginning, the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, the regular Kohen, four clothes, the eight clothes. And the Chumash tells us, source 1a, bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, Eleazar, and Itamar, the sons of Aaron, to minister to me. You shall make vestments of sanctity for Aaron, your brother, L'chavod ul'tiferet, for glory and splendor. And as the Ramban points out in 1b, the vestments were to honor the Kohanim, for these garments were similar to the garb of royalty. We need to understand this idea. We've spoken about this in the past. We'll look at it from a little bit of a different vantage point today, Mirtz Hashem. What is the idea of L'chavod, the idea of glory? Second question. We know the Gemara tells us in 2a, that we have a similar phrase of glory in a pasuk of Megillas Esther, Barato et Osher Kvod Machuto, when he displayed the riches of his glorious kingdom. So here, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chaninya said, Melamed Shelavash Bigdei Kahuna. We learn from here that Achashverosh at this grand party wore the Bigdei Kahuna. And the question we have to ask ourselves, and this is the question Munadi Techa Rav Wilson brings down to be, Ma'ita kavanato Torah b'levisha b'gdei kuna gedula. What was Achashverosh thinking? What was the reason? What was the point of wearing these clothes of the Kohen Gadol? So we know the classic answer, which we'll have to develop a Meretz Hashem, is that he took Mikelim Shonim, we read in the Echatun, he took the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, but not only did he use the utensils that were the Beis HaMikdash, he actually dressed up in the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So again, the classic answer was to show the 70 years were up, and that the Beis HaMikdash was never going to be rebuilt. We need to be able to explore that a little bit deeper, and again to ask ourselves, what was the mindset of Achashverosh even beyond this answer? And further, the whole theme of clothing is a theme that runs throughout the entire Megillah, whether it's Esther who tells Mordechai to change from a sackcloth, and Haman who says the best way to honor a person whom the king wants to honor is to have him wear the clothes of the king and ride him through the street. And we find, this is one of the psukim that we say out loud in the Megillah 1c, that Mordechai left the king's presence, clad in royal apparel of turquoise and white with a large gold crown and a robe of fine linen and purple, then the city of Shushan was cheerful and glad. Right? Mordechai yatsa, v'tcheilet argamam, v'ir Shushan salav v'semecha. What is the significance of this? We say this pasuk out loud. What are we trying to underscore here? And really, the question that we need to really respond to is a question that Rav Freiman asks in Shari Derech, where he says, this idea of making special clothes in Source 3 for the Kohen, Ma'orer b'libeinu tmiha, raises in us a question. Sharei murgalim anu lachshov sheitul itamala shalei mechochma lo nechshavim kol iskei olam hazeh klal. We generally think that exalted people, people who are spiritual nature, tamid chachamim, the outer, the olam hazeh, the physical, means very little to them. For sure they're not into garments of, you know, pomp and you know, all of this glory. It doesn't make any sense. Why does the Torah tell us that the Kohen Gadol has to wear these special clothes, the Kohanim has special clothes? Why are we focusing on Mordechai going out, you know, with Tchelet, and we sing in Shoshanas Yaakov, Tchelos Mordechai? What is this whole big deal? And he likens it to the Medrash, where Rabbi Yeshua de Sachni, Meshem Rabbi Levi, says, if you would ask Nahar Prat, why are you so quiet? Why don't we hear the noise of your waters rushing? He says, why should I? My deeds speak well for me. You plant by me in a few days, it grows. And they ask, Narchi Dekel, Lama Kolcha Olech, why do we hear your voice? He says, Olavai, people should hear me. People plant by me, and no one, nothing grows. No one pays attention. So we see Fakir, that something that is in itself intrinsically special doesn't need to be calling outside attention. Well, something that isn't intrinsically special needs outside attention. The Kohanim are intrinsically special. Why do we need to have them dressed in these clothes? And to answer this question, which will really tap in for ourselves into what the whole idea of attire and dress is all about, is I'd like to look at these ideas of what is the Kohanim's clothes, the kavod, the glory, what is the significance of Mordechai going out, b'levush malchut, chelet, b'chur, why we're making such a big deal about this, as well as what was perhaps the mindset of Achashverosh, of wearing the big day kahuna at this party. I'd like to look at in Eretz Hashem of three levels. And the three levels that we've looked at very often, the three major categories, the Maharal says, is Ben Adam L'Atzmo, first, between man and fellow man, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and oneself, man and one's fellow man, and then ultimately Ben Adam L'Mako, man and God. I'd like to look at all three of these aspects based on this idea of the Big Day Kahuna, L'Kavod U'L'Tiferet. Let's start Ben Adam L'Asfo, between man himself, move to Ben Adam L'Chavero, man and fellow man, and we'll end Ben Adam L'Makom, which will be the most difficult and most deepest of the three levels, and let's hold on tight. Ravelsky Zatzal Aynei Yisrael, course from Source 3, where he says, what is even more significant, however, is the type of clothing he wears and how he wears it. Chazal tell us, Rabbi Yochanan used to call his garment, my honor guards. The appropriate garments imbue a person with dignity and respectability, and may even signify a certain standing or position. The way in which a person clothes himself reveals the inner truth of the person. Someone who feels that he's an Eved Hashem, a servant of the one God, will don a clean pressed shirt and present itself in a respectable way. In contrast, one who feels or wish to feel that he is free and not bound by social or religious restrictions may choose to sport an outlandish hairstyle, wear scruffy or provocative clothing. In extreme cases, he may even mutilate himself with painful body piercings and tattoos designed to shock onlookers and project a certain image of living beyond normal human conventions. The way we dress is really a reflection of who we are, and it works both ways. When we dress in certain clothes, it creates a certain mindset for us. We know we get dressed in wedding clothes, we're ready to dance. We dress just in more casual clothes, then we're ready to do more casual things. The clothes that we wear is really a reflection of who we are. In addition to the emphasis on a sense of self-respect and honor, clothing can also define a person's function and mission. The Big Day Kahuna, case in point. When the Kohanim would wear these clothes, then they were allowed to do the Avoda. They did not have these clothes on, then they were not permitted to do the Avoda. The clothes created a certain mindset for each and every one of us, and particularly for the Kohanim. Every style of garment carries a message. And this is the first idea of L'chavod U'L'Tiferet. What is the honor and glory? It's that the person who wears these clothes is empowered the Yirah Shamayim to perform the Savoda. So the clothes create a mindset for the person. So it's not so much to attract attention or that we're involved in physicality, as much as the clothes that we wear. A person wears modest clothes, they act in a modest way. A person wears immodest clothes, so then their actions are going to reflect that. So the clothes that we wear really create a certain psyche and reality of the person. With this, those Desha Rav Shneor, and source number 6, points out something very fascinating. Rashi tells us, if a Kohen would serve the Avoda, right, would bring Korbanos, or bring the Ketara, or whatever the Avoda was, without wearing the appropriate clothing of the Kohanim, he was Chayav Misa. He was worthy of death. Now this is very interesting. It doesn't mean that the Avoda was no good, right? Person brought a Korban and the Kohen wasn't wearing the right clothing. It doesn't mean, okay, now that Korban is puzzled, you have to bring another Korban. No. It's not that the aspect of the Avoda was no good, but rather he was per. He, there's something wrong in him. Lo nemar kan shavadatel psula ela shehu pasul. He himself is something wrong with him. Hachisaron bo b'kohen hu pagub hu chayav mita v'lo rak shavadatel psula. It's not just that what he did was wrong. There's a psul in him, and it's in the gavritz on the person. Habegit shulovesh matshiro tolo tefkido. The clothes enable him to do his job. Umatstike kuyumo, and gives him license to exist. Buli habeged hu kamo kol adam acher. Without that, then he's like everyone else. So we know the zarakarev yumat, and a stranger comes and does the avoda, they should die. So we see here that the clothing itself creates a reality within the person, and the goal is that the person should live up to this reality, and that there should be a sync relationship between the person and the clothing that they're wearing. If that is true of the L'chavod ul'tiferet, the glory and the honor is that the person wearing the clothes becomes that job. He becomes the one who's going to be the emissary of Klal Yisrael to do the kohen, the service. We can now be able to appreciate the contrast within Achashverosh. The Noam Siach points out, Rav Cutler, on the pasuk Baroto and Osher Kvod Machuto, when he went to show the wealth and the glory of his Malchus. So we note here, he says, Vine kol sipur mikila, no galing yino shel neis purim. This pasuk is really the foundation of the whole miracle, the whole story of Purim. Why? Because what we see here, Dako matchil maratzon laharot, what is Achashverosh about? It's really encoded in this pasuk. Achashverosh is about how does it look on the outside. And this is how it begins with how does he look toward his servants? How does he look toward the people of Shusha? How does he look toward the entire nation? And then he wants Vashti to appear. How does she look? Everything is about how it appears. This is key. When you're so interested in how you look to others, then you're dependent on others. And that's why this is the antithesis of Malchus. Malchus, royalty, is a person who's able to hold strong even if there's nothing, you know, no outer aspect around him. We know about Shlomo HaMelech. The Medrash says that ultimately Shlomo HaMelech, for a short tkufa, was divested of all aspects of his royal kingdom. And all he was left with his maklo, with his staff. And the language of Chazal was that Shlomo HaMelech was a melech al maklo. He was a king over a staff. Because even if no one else was around, he had that royalty within him that he was able to do what he knew was right or wrong. Achashverosh is all about what other people say. And you find here, Kechol Shirtivo Haman, he did whatever Haman told him to do. He listened to Memucha. And then later on, Vayechtov Kechol Shirtivo Mordechai, he did whatever Mordechai told him. The whole idea of Achashverosh was that he himself was totally empty. It was all about what others told him. It was all about appearance around him. And that's why Rabelsky points out in 8, for Mordechai, his garments served to reveal his inner essence. However, other people wear garments to hide the truth, not reveal it. The royal apparel worn by Achashverosh and his court were designed to project an image of grandeur and majesty. Why is Achashverosh wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol? Does he want to be the Kohen Gadol? No, he doesn't want to be the Kohen Gadol. He's not interested in self. There's no Malchus here. There's no royalty. He's empty. What is he interested in? How it's going to appear for other people. So again, he's using clothing, and here is where we see the emptiness. He's using clothing to project an image of himself, that he is one of royalty, when really he's empty inside. He's wearing this that he should feel that he is somebody that he's really not. The outer appearance was certainly, their clothes, however, were nothing more than gilded garbage containers. The outer appearance was certainly beautiful, but underneath it, all was filth. The king and his courtiers consisted of the very lowest type of person imaginable. Their magnificent garments could barely hide their storied characters. And that's why Rav Wolfson and Munati Techa points out that the royal garments had no effect on Achashverosh. The royal garments of the Kohen Gadol are the aspect of eight clothes. It's l'malo min ha-teva. It only could be worn by people who have an aspiration to reach this level of Kedusha. A no nogeya klav of Chinah Kedusha is Bigdei Kahuna, but Achashverosh, who was nowhere near this, had no connection with this. Lo ha-tabayim Kedusha klav. Kayu reikonim of Chinah Ra'ora Shayach Lahem. The clothes of the Kohen Gadol were empty when Achashverosh put them on. And he says that's a play on words of Yikar Tiferet Gdulato. Yikar, the preciousness, is the same letters as Reik. They were empty of any preciousness. Achashverosh wearing them, he wants to make himself Ben Adam Latzmo. He wants to make himself feel important, make himself feel good. But really, Chazal are telling us those clothes were empty because Achashverosh was empty. As the Birchas Mordechai points out so beautifully, he says the whole idea of being a person of Nechbados, a person who one honors, is something that a person needs to create within oneself. Kavo v'nechbados hinam mitziyur. It's a reality. Hakayemet b'tzurat komatosho zochel l'kach mechamat b'inyano nafshi. A person is an honorable person when they work on themselves to become honorable. Kol tzura acheret shel netinat kavod eina el dimayon v'tziyuf. If you honor somebody who's empty, it's just false. Kavod e'efshar l'kabel. You can't receive honor. Kavod yitachein rak l'hiyot. In the bracket, you can only be an honorable person. What Achashverosh was looking for by donning these clothes was trying to be able to be a person of honor when he had not worked on himself to reach this level, and therefore he was rake, he was empty. The clothes meant absolutely nothing. Contrast this again in Munari Techa 11, an earlier essay, to Mordechai. Mordechai at Tzadik, when he puts on these clothes of the clothes of the king, right? He comes out b'lufvush lifnei ha-melech in front of the king. His clothes take on the dimension of what it means to be before the king. He lives in those clothes. And as he points out, kayu malbushim uchaniim, mulvashim sheitz alamon, when he says that Mordechai Yatzav, the Levush Machut, he comes out in front of the king wearing clothes of royalty. What king are we talking about? Malkos Shalola. Mordechai at the end of the Megillah is living up to the experience of what it means to be a Gadol Ador. What these royal clothes were just a hechitimsi, a medium for him to feel the ultimate royalty of standing in front of Hashem. And that's why Mordechai yatzah mifnei ha-melech b'levush malchut tchelet. Tchelet is yirat shamayim. Vachur is avas Hashem, love of Hashem. And ateret zahav gedola v'tachrich but. These are all the arot gedolot, all of these great lights that came from him. V'har gaman. It's not just this red color, this purple color. It's rather a name hinting at to the malachim who carry the merkava. For Mordechai yatzah, wearing these royal clothes made him into feeling what it means to be in front of Hashem, the ultimate royalty, and the clothes impacted him with greater Yirat Shamayim, with greater fear of heaven, with a greater relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the first level, when we wear clothes, we have to ask ourselves, who am I? What have I become with the clothes that I've worn? How are they impacting on me and my behavior and who I am? And that's why we have to be careful with what type of clothes we wear, how the clothes are expressing, because they really make a statement. Forget outside. You know, what will people think, right? You know, women always have this problem. It's the men's problem. They look at us. What's this holy need of sneers? Forget that. The first level is about yourself. Who are you when you wear clothes? How do you act when you wear certain clothes or you don't wear certain clothes? It's all about ourselves. For the Kohen Gadol and the Kohani, when they wore the clothes, that made them who they were. For Achashverosh, he was hoping to put on the clothes to become somebody he wasn't, and it's not going to work. They were yakar, they were rake, they were empty. He didn't work on this aspect of kavod. Just to wear these clothes, if you're not willing to do the work and becoming it, will be empty. And Mordechai, by contrast, who was working on himself, when he put on these royal clothes, he indeed became a royal person in the most spiritual of all senses. That, my friends, is level one. Level two. Ben Adam l'chaveiro, between man and one fellow man. Rav Sternbach, it's a brand new sefer that's come out in English of Rav Sternbach's, some Rav Sternbach's Divrei Torah. He notes in 14, the Sefer Chinuch explains that the Kohen Gadol's garments had to be for honor and glory. One, so that he would be constantly aware he was standing before and serving Hashem, which brings us back to the first level. And two, additionally, his external appearance would instill awe of Hashem in the eyes of those visiting the Beit HaMikdash, reminding them of the holiness of the place they were in, thus inducing them to repent. And he adds here, those who teach in yeshivas should wear special clothes in order to remind themselves of their status and obligation to behave in an elevated manner, as befits B'nai Torah, and also so that their students will feel their superior status and honor and obey them accordingly. So clothes that one wear, A, impact us, we behave differently, and B, it has an impact on other people. Indeed, Chazal tell us, this is Rav Svei Zatzah, Ruach Eliyahu, 15, Lamani Smecha Parshat Korbanos, L'Parshat Bigdei Kahuna, what's the connection between the Korbanos, the sacrifices, and Bigdei Kahuna, the clothes of the Kohen? Lomar Lecha, to teach you, Ma Korbanos Mechaprim, Af Bigdei Kahuna Mechaprim, just like the clothes atone, so too did the Bigdei Kahuna, the clothes of the Kohanim. And they go through it, Ketonet, the Rome, Mechaper al-Shvichus Damim, for murder, the Mechnasayim, the pants for Mechaper, for Giloy Rayos, for morality, the Mitznefet, the hat was Mechaper, atoned for Gasei Ruach, those who are arrogant, the Avnet, which was worn on the heart, is Mechaper al-Hirur al-Leif, which is negative thoughts, the Choshes, Mechaper al-Ivus Hadin, the falsification of judgment, a phone mechaper avodat kochavim and avodah zara, and the me'il was mechaper for lashon hara, and finally the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wore was mechaper al atzus panim, and explains Rav Svei goes through all of these in details. But the highlight of this is when they would look on the Kohen Gadol and they would see this ema and yira. Right? If you ever seen a Gadol b'Yisrael, like how could you sin? And if you do sin, you say, oh my gosh, how could I have done something like this? It was just seeing the Kohen, when they saw the Dveikus, right? You know, when we speak about it on the Avodas Yom Kippurim, to hear the Kohen Gadol mentioning Hashem's name, everyone fell on their face, Baruch Shepo Machusel Lamed, they did tshuva right then and there. It had such an impact on them. Even without the Avoda, even without the Kohen Gadol mentioning Hashem's name, just looking at him, wearing this attire, not only level one had an impact on the Kohen that he met up to this standard of Yira and Kavod, but he then exuded that outward. And Memela Zahula Kapara, that by very nature, they were able to gain forgiveness because they became different people. Kashira Kleistros, the end of 16, Al Kohen Gadol, Ra'u and Love Kovid Rosh Yira Shemaim. They saw somebody who was living Yira Shemaim. Vizevilotam Lifno Libamira Veira Ludivrei Tara. Then they moved from thinking thoughts of negativity, of sin, to be able to hear a Divrei Torah, to thinking of thoughts of Torah. It impacted them so greatly. Likewise, when they would see the Kohen Gadol, it also was Mechaper for Ritzicha, for murder. Shvichus Dami Noveh Mekach Shadam Eino Machshiv Et Chaveiro Veino Maricha Ra'u Et Achayim. Double underlined in 17. Where does murder come from? When a person doesn't really relate to his friend with any type of respect. He's not Maricha Oto. He doesn't appreciate what life is about. But when they saw the Kohen Gadol, who carried on his heart and on his shoulders the stones of Bnei Yisrael, and was involved in each and every Jew and carried the problems of every Jew, so they would then come to appreciate who it was. You know, the story is told of a certain Gadol b'Yisrael was trying to find which yeshiva to learn it, and he went to Radin to see perhaps he'd learn by the Chafetz Chaim, and he entered the Chafetz Chaim's house, and he was invited in. It wasn't that big a place. And he heard in the next room somebody crying as if Laura Lane was like something terrible happened. And he asked, was it the son or daughter, whoever it was, who invited him in, and says, everything okay? Did it come at the wrong time? No, everything is fine. It was of a Chavit Chaim. Somebody had come to Chavit Chaim that their wife was having problems in childbirth. And the Chavit Chaim was davening that they should have an easy birth. And this person said, oh my, if the Chavit Chaim could feel the pain of a total stranger davening for his wife like this, if that's the amount of empathy and compassion he can have, I'm studying in this yeshiva. And that's the pitch that we need to have in our own lives. And when we see people of this stature, it impacts us. When we read, and if we don't see, we read books about Rebbetzin Machlos, we read books about Rebbetzin Kenyevsky, we read books about these great people, it inspires us, you know what, I also can. And when we see somebody who's a little bit lonely or needs a little bit of a pickup, we go over to them because we've been inspired by great people. How much more so when we see a great person in action, how much more so when you saw the Kohen Gadol in his greatness, that view of him with all of those clothes, seeing the 12 stones on him and the stones on his shoulders, that imbued in a person the chashivus, the importance of every single person. How could you then murder? How could you do anything terrible like this? With this, in source 20, notes for Asvet, Masmir Klayakar Mara Hashverish Lobosha Big Day Kahuna, Mahaita Kavanato Bekach. Who yadash begadim halalu mechapri makol averos haniskarim v'ta'al achshov shatam yelo l'chapara l'chaim b'keish l'lovshah. So Klayaka offers, he says, Achashverosh understood that wearing these clothes creates kapara, creates forgiveness. So he wanted to put the clothes on that he would be forgiven. Now obviously, again, what we're saying is that the clothes themselves didn't forgive the Kohen Gadol as much as it forgave other people. And again, Achashverosh, in limited understanding, you know, thinks it's an easy way out. Rav Svei offers another answer. He says, Ulam choshvani shefsher los birzo b'tzura acheret. And that is, Harei bigdei kahuna ishpiu kamur mitos tovos. The bigdei kahuna influence proper mitos. Right? He was able to exude proper behavior. So according to this, says Rav Svei Zatzal, why did Achashverosh wear these clothes? Because he knew that these clothes impacted other people. And again, he figured, well, I have also ways to impact others. Let me wear these clothes and let me be a positive influence on everyone around him, albeit with his shitot, right? Whatever he believed. And again, this is the contorted vision of Achashverosh. But in Achashverosh's mind, he said, well, if the Kohen Gadol could impact people by just wearing these clothes, let me wear these clothes, and I too can impact people. Very similar to the simpleton who goes to the town, and he sees that when there's a fire, they ring the bell, and everyone comes with buckets of water to put out the fire. He just thinks that ringing the bell is enough to put out the fire. He comes back home and he says, I have a great way to put out the fire. The next time a fire happened in his town, he just rang the bell and no one did anything. He says, hi, I don't know why it worked in that town. It doesn't work here. Again, ringing the bell isn't enough. Wearing the big day kahuna is not enough. You have to be a person who's going to demonstrate these things. Rav Wilson points out, however, in Munari Techa, there was hashkocha, that Hashem wanted him to wear these big day kahuna. Why? Because it impacted him in the way that it brought on him Avas Yisrael. The clothes themselves have this power. Even without the Kohen Gadol wearing it, had the power of what it represented, of love of the Jewish people. And it was from this love of the Jewish people that Achashverosh was one of the biggest anti-Semites around. Later in the Megillah wrote, V'ata kitvu al Yehudim kitov b'nechem, Tzeitz Mordechai, you could write whatever you want good for the Jews, whatever you want. Where did Achashverosh, who was a great anti-Semite, change his mind? It was from that experience, as Rav Wilson, of wearing those big day kahuna for that short period of time, he got those positive mitos in him to be able to write this positive edict. Likewise, notes the Tiferet Shlomo, that Haman, we know his descendants were, we'll talk about this next week more, Mir Toshev, were studying in B'nai Brak, were teachers in B'nai Brak. Where did this come from? It came from the meal that Esther offered Achashverosh and Haman. By eating this meal of matzah of Kedusha, he then was able to have people come from him who were going to be able to learn Torah. So we never know how small things impact a person. So if the Kohen Gadol's whole being and the clothes impacted and changed Klal Yisrael, brought them to levels of tshuva, and Achashverosh thought that he too could do this, and or Achashverosh was able to impact others by the clothes that he wore in terms of a positive edict, we see the power of the clothes of Mordechai, what he wore. Rav Reis 23 points out that Mistaber Shitseva Tchelet Orer Rigishot HaSimcha B'Shel HaRemes HaRav HaMashmot Shumachil B'Kirbo, says the Imre Emes. When Klal Yisrael saw him going out with this Tchelet, with this blue color, whatever tchelet is, dark blue, black color, they were inspired from Yerushalayim, right? Tchelet is Dome Yam, reminds us of the color of the sea, and Yam is Dome Rakia, and the sea reminds us of the sky, and the sky reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod. So why do we mention this pasuk out loud? So again, when Mordechai went out, it wasn't only about him and his Yerushalayim which was affected, but when he went out into the streets, this was part of the mass tshuva movement of Klal Yisrael. This was part of the Kimu V'Kiblu of re-accepting the Torah. When they saw Mordechai going out, they felt a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw the blue and they thought of Hashem, the Kisei HaKavod. They looked at the Tchelet and reminded them, perhaps, notes Rav Reis, of the Ptil Tchelet, the blue thread that went around the white sisters. Tchelet for the word kol, all-inclusiveness, says Ramban, that they saw Hashem as being the one who's wrapping around, who's all-inclusive, doing this entire miracle. Seeing Mordechai, Levush HaTchelet Shem Mordechai, Simech et Yisrael, made the Jewish people happy, Lacharshi Bornu V'ro Bo'et HaYachat, et HaAchdut HaKolelot Shebechol HaYetzira, when they saw how all the events are being orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They understood the depth of Tchelet Mordechai, and that brought them the Salava Samecha, this tremendous joy of being able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was orchestrating, like the Tchelet that went around, the Tzitzit, it was orchestrating everything around Klal Yisrael. So my friends, we have clothes impact us. What we wear impacts who we are. What we wear sends a message to others, inspires others. Mordechai inspiring Klal Yisrael to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohen Gadol inspiring people to tshuva. Achashverosh thinking he can inspire others in his shitas, in his mindset. Clothing affects us. Clothing affects those whom we come in contact with, right? We judge many people based on the clothes. And when people wear certain clothes, it elicits in us certain reactions as well. Now, my friends, let's speak about the Ben Adam Lamakom between man and God. Some of these ideas we've seen before, but I'd like to look at it from a little bit of a different vantage point today. The Sufos Marachos begins off by teaching us a medrash in Source 24. Adam HaRishon was the first person to get close. He was Bechoro Shel Olam. He was the firstborn of the world. And when he brought a korban, Lavash Bigdei Kohen HaGadol, he wore the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Shenemar, Vayas Hashem Elokim L'Adam L'Ishto, Kotno Or Vayal Bishem. What were the clothes of the first Kohen Gadol? The clothes of Adam HaRishon. And what were these clothes? These were the Kotno Or, the robes of leather, of skin that Hashem made for Adam. Big day Shabbos, are you? These were the begodim of Shabbos. Fayu b'choros mishtamshim mahem, and the firstborns would use them to do the avoda. So very much, the clothes of Adam HaRishon are connected to the clothes of the kuna, the clothes of chavod tiferet, the clothes of honor, and Shabbos v'chivadeto. We're obligated to honor Shabbos, and this is one of the sources of wearing big day Shabbos, wearing beautiful clothes on Shabbos, again bringing honor. And what is this all about? So he says, how do we understand the idea of honor? Our original question, l'chavod l'tiferet. What is honor all about? So the Mishnah Navos tells us, Kol Mashavar Kodesh Baruch Hu 25, Ba'olamo, everything Hashem created in this world, Lo Bra'o Elo L'chvado, was created for Hashem's honor, Shenemar, as it says, Pasuk in Yeshaya, Kol Anikra, B'shmi, L'chvodi, B'rati, V'tzarti, V'afasiti, everything I did, I created for my name, for my glory, for my honor, I've created it. V'hakavod HaMutal Aleinu, Yitzirei Olam HaSiyah HaShafel, our job, living in this world, L'hanik L'borei Yitzparach, Hulos L'chsof Enetziyoto M'tocho Shol Hester. Our job is to be able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, L'galot Et Ha'or HaLokiyah Chavui Shavui B'toch Hashkosh Shol Chomer, to be able, we call it, to pick up the sparks, to be able to see the beauty, the light, the glory, the holiness in everything that exists in this world, and be able to elevate it to serve Hashem. And that's why the people up in Shemayim can't do this. This is a job that was given for us, our job. V'dafka Adam HaShafel. Angels are limited because they're living in the celestial world. Our job, Baal Bechira, who are Shakua Ba'olam Chomri Afel, that we are immersed in this dark world. Our job is to be able to peel away the layers and say, I found godliness. I found Kedusha. That's why Hashem created this world. Why are we here in this world? If anyone says to you, what do? You're not nice to meet you. What do? Your answer is, I look for godliness in this world to be able to raise the physical to the spiritual. They may commit you to certain places, which we won't talk about, but that's the real answer. And if they give you any other answer in this world, they're the ones who need to be committed. Because that's truth. What am I doing here? What is my job in this world? My job is to be able to find godliness. It's finding godliness in the piles of laundry that I'm involved with in order to be able to clothe my children, to be able to study Torah and to do mitzvot. I find godliness in the soap suds of my dishes, to be able to have food for Shabbos, to give chesed for the people around me. This is what it's all about. To be able to see in the physical that which is spiritual. V'agashem kmo shehu 26, k'dei shenitpas b'chushim ha'gufanim, m'shaget ha'ayim. The challenge is we can get so caught up in the physical that we get lost. We've lost priorities. U'matet ha'adam l'jachais elav k'liyesh v'al k'yum atzmi. And I can actually look at something physical and really think it's just something physical without seeing the spiritual shadow that's lurking behind it that I'm supposed to reveal. We could then describe it the following. All the physicality is really a levush, a clothing, which is hiding and concealing the spiritual spark that is hidden within it. And our job, to uncover it, to reveal it, to be able to see in every tree, in every leaf, screaming out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we do this, we've lived the world of Kavod. And this is what Kavod is about. Kavod, glory, is to be able to reveal the godliness within the physicality. If there was one place in particular where one felt this with tremendous intensity, and that the entire avoda revolved around this, that was the base of Mikdash. Noada la'alot et ha'asiyah gashmit ul'zakeka. It took flour, it took wine, it took oil, it took water, it took animals, and all it did was elevated to God. Aideh ha'ktaratah l'shmo yitbarach, offering it to Hashem. Ki gilui tzad ha'ruchani shev'olam ha'chomer heinik b'mikdash Hashem. The Beit HaMikdash was a physical place that was screaming out Kedusha. And now we can understand. V'areinu ba'im ha'gdarash avod ha'mikdash hi'echad ha'drachim ha'kariot. And the asterisk in 28, the Beit HaMikdash was one of those places. Niklaf ha'galit ha'gashmi, where the physicality was peeled away. The Nechsaf HaNitzos HaLokia Kavod HaChavui V'ganach Bo. Beit HaMikdash was the place of the ultimate Kavod, because it was the place where one was able to reveal and feel Hashem's presence. So now I can appreciate what the Big Day Kahuna were about. The big day kahuna, Kohen Osek Bedavadazu Shalavushim, the Kohen who's involved in uncovering the covering of the physical world elevated to Hashem, Zakuku Atzmo L'Mavushim Atomim Rafinim Etavadazu, he had to wear clothes to remind him, to be a symbol for him of what his job is. These became a symbol for him as his tools to be able to his job. So while the clothes of the Kohen affected him to be able to meet up to the standard, and if he doesn't do it, he's Chayav Misa. If the clothes impacted others to have that Yirah Shamayim, the fear of God, and to help them do tshuva, the clothes were also a symbol of the relationship between the earth and God. The clothes are the symbol of being able to remind ourselves that we are all here as clothes, and the world is clothed, and our job is to reveal and uncover it to be able to find the godliness. And the outer clothes was just a reminder that there's a lot more beneath. And just like the Kohen's outer clothes reminded him of his job to be able to find the spirituality, that is the model of what Big Day Shabbos is about as well. That we live in the physical world, but we're focusing in on the spirituality of what Shabbos is about. With this, my friends, we can appreciate the Moda Labina of Rotberg, who speaks about that after the sin, when Adam Rishon was originally created, he was created with clothes of light, which he lost. Hashem made him physical clothes, that were made of skin, of leather. Nevertheless, our job, since Adam Rishon, is to take these physical clothes and bring them back to the spiritual, to elevate them from the or with an ayin to the or with the aleph, from the physical to the spiritual. We know that these clothes that Adam Rishon had went to Nimrod, and then ultimately to Esav. These are the big day Esav HaChamudot. And when they were wearing them, and they were hunters, they were very much physical clothes. At the moment that Rivka Imenu put these clothes on Yaakov Avinu, they turned into Big Day Or, and that goes back to the shir we spoke about, Parshas Toldos, that when Yaakov Avinu walks in to Yitzchak Avinu to get the bracha, Yitzchak Avinu smells the reich of Gan Eden, because indeed, when Yaakov Avinu wore those clothes, he changed them from the physical to the spiritual, and those clothes were the Ketonet Pasim, the beloved clothes that Yaakov Avinu ultimately gave to Yosef to continue on the Savota. This aspect of the Esav wearing these clothes, their big day or with an eye in, their physical clothes. When Yaakov Avinu wears these clothes, he's able to fulfill their mission, and that's why Yaakov Avinu is the same face. This the rectification of Adam HaRishon, he's able to take those clothes and bring them back to the or, the aleph, the way the clothes are meant to be, the spiritual clothes. This tension between how to wear these clothes, which is really a tension of how to live life, because as we mentioned in the Asufos Marachos of Goldfish just now, that's how that the entire aspect of the world is just clothing, it's just a manifestation, whether it's physical clothes we're wearing or the clothes that are clothed around us. But it's the same struggle. Do I get caught up in the external, or do I allow the external to become a medium for the internal, for the Kedusha? With this we can appreciate Rabbi Feldman, the juggler and the king, bringing down the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, source 30. Once every 70 years, the Romans take an able-bodied man and put him on a lame man's back. They dress him in the clothes that God made for Adam and place Rabbi Shmuel, who was the Kohen Gadol, and bomb face over his head and proclaim before him, the chief reckoning is a counterfeit, the brother of our master, the fraud. What did the deceiver gain by his deceit? The fraud by his fraudulence. And obviously there's a lot of Torah on this. Rabbi Feldman, quoting the Gra here, says that even after 31, the destruction of the temple by the Romans and the subsequent exile, the Jewish people held fast to their belief in the prophetic promise. They would never cease to be Hashem's chosen people, and that ultimately he would redeem them. The Romans saw in this tenacious belief nothing more than a defiance, a stubborn refusal to submit to their domination. determined on stamping out such last sparks of rebellious spirit, they established a custom and described above a parade whose pomp and splendor was designed to demonstrate the victory over the Jews. Rome was the heir of Asaph, and the struggle for ascendancy between Rome and Jerusalem was the next round of the ancient struggle between Asaph and Yaakov. Theirs was a dispute not over land or possessions, listen closely, but over the meaning of existence. To Yaakov, man's purpose is to serve God. To Asaph, it's to serve man. To Yaakov, life is a means for spiritual growth. To Asaph, it's a means for personal advancement. And that's why we know this whole imagery, which is not really our discussion for today, of taking an able-bodied man and putting him on a layman's back. It's Asaph, the layman's back. It's Yaakov after he fought with the angel. What they were saying is, you think that Yaakov was victorious? No, we have become victorious. The able-bodied man, the Asaph, the Moloch, is the one going on Yaakov. The limping Yaakov is now a slave, carrying his master Asaph. 32. When Adam sinned, he failed in his mission for which he had been created, to carry out the Creator's will. Yaakov ensured the Jewish nation would ultimately carry out man's mission on earth. It's no wonder then the sages tell us that the beauty of Yaakov is like the beauty of Adam. The beauty of Yaakov refers to spiritual perfection which he achieved in his lifetime, was similar to perfection which Adam possessed when he was originally created. To the Romans, nothing was beautiful but power, wealth, and glory. They lived by the creed of the forbearing Asaph, that man's created not for any spiritual destiny, but for his own aggrandizement. And this is the beauty of Adam wearing Adam's clothes, they said, is Asaph's inheritance. And it's not by accident taking the embalmed face of the Kohen Gadol, which is, again, it's the face without the body. It's the outer without the inner. Panim is the panim. It missed the inner glory. This is the struggle that we have ad hayom hazeh. Do we look at this world in an Asaph mentality, in understanding it just wearing the clothes of Adam, which are the clothes after the sin, the clothes of the physicality? Or do we understand that our job is to turn it from kot no, or with an ayin, to kot nor, of the aleph, of the light, the job of what Yaakov Inu did when he wore those same clothes of Adam Arisho and was able to have the smell of Gan Eden, to be able to bring spirituality into physicality? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves ad hayom hazeh. Do I live in this world purely for physical pleasures, eat, enjoy? Or am I able to understand that every experience that I experience in the physical world is just a mirror for something spiritual, and I need to uncover that spirituality and be aware that every experience that I go through is tailor-made by God for me to come closer to Him, for me to become a different type of person, and I'm living with the lenses of spirituality and not just physicality. Now let's get back to Achashverosh and the Purim story, my friends. Rav Rot Zatzal, Sichat Eliyahu, in source 33, Rav Eliyahu Roth says the following. He says, and we'll look at this memra next week at length, Mishenichnas Ah Mimati Misimcha, Kishem Shenichnas Ah Mimati Misimcha, Kach Mishenichnas Ah Yudah Marbi Misimcha. Just like when Av comes in, we lessen our joy, so too when Adar comes in, we increase our joy. Av is the month of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Adar is Adar Purim. So it seems, and there's a lot of Torah on this, that there's some correlation. Just like in Av, we have less simcha, so too in Adar, we have more simcha. What does one have to do with the other? Okay, so Av, I have less simcha, and Adar, I have more simcha. But it seems like there's something that's connected between Av and Adar. What's the connection? Av is the structure of Beis HaMikdash. Adar has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. Like, how are they connected? So he explains, it's an obviously much longer essay, we're just pulling out the nuggets that I would like. That we know the Beis HaMikdash was the place of Yafei Nof, Mesos Kol Ha'aretz. It was a place of beauty that was a place of rejoicing. Why? Because anyone who ever sinned would come to the Beis HaMikdash. They were worried, they were concerned. I did a sin. They come to the Beis HaMikdash, Yark Teit Safon. They would sacrifice, this is Shir Shal Yom for Monday, they would sacrifice Tila Memchet, Kibitl Memchet. They would sacrifice on the northern side their Korban Chatat, their sin offering, and then they were forgiven, and they were happy. The Beis HaMikdash was a place, was Makor HaSimcha Shel Kol Ha'aretz, the place of joy. And therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, automatically there's less joy in this world because people are mired in sin and are affected by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, let's fast forward now. We had the Beis HaMikdash. Everything was great. After over 400 years of having Beis HaMikdash, Bavel comes along and destroys Beis HaMikdash. We are now in the 70-year period, right after the Korban and Achashverosh's mind, right? There was a Nevuah that after 7 years they would return. As we began with this year, Achashverosh in his mind thought, in his calculations, the 70 years was up, and that's why he made the party. He made the party saying that now the Jewish people will never return, going back very similar, really going forward to what Rome will say later on, that the Jews have lost being the chosen people, and there'll be no more Beis HaMikdash. So what does Achashverosh do? He makes a party, really celebrating that the Beis HaMikdash will never be rebuilt and the Jews will never go back. And that's where the Kelim are from, and that's the where in the Beis HaMikdash. Hal Beish Kimo Kohen Gadol Achlu Kimo Beis HaMikdash Veshatu the Kelim Shel Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, the Gemara Megillah 35a and 35b goes through all the names of the officers. You ever wonder why you need to know Karshina, Shetar, Admasa, Tarshish? Like, who really cares what their names are, right? Do I need to know them? The Gemara goes through each name is really a reflection of something in the Beis HaMikdash. Karshina, Klumi Krivu Fonecha Karim Ben Meni Shana. Did they offer to you, you know, little animals a year old like Klai Yisrael did? Sheitar, did they offer the Shtei Torim? Admata, did they make a Mizbeach Adama? And goes through all the names are really a play on the different parts of the Avoda. Shekosu, the Dan in 35b, Achashverosh, Sheitar, Mamash, Gein, Chazar, Avodat, Beit HaMikdash. It was like a replay of the Beis HaMikdash going on there. Who kivyachol yakot gado? He was like the Kohen Gadol, the Sarim, each Sar was like a different avod in the Beis HaMikdash, like everyone had their part of the play. The Kalim were the Kalim, the utensils, Beis HaMikdash, and Achashverosh is sitting and almost mimicking, hey, Tikin, Avodat Beit HaMikdash, Sharmon Shalom. What's going on here? So he explains that every Golos, every exile has its challenge. The exile of Paros HaMadai was Olam Hazeh. Tanugot Olam Hazeh, the pleasures of this world. And he calls Achashverosh Melech B'mamlechet HaTanugot Shel HaOlam. It's a great description. Achashverosh is a king of the kingdom of pleasures. And obviously, when one is totally immersed in the physicality, last line of 36, Hei Mechitzon Chazakot HaChotototot Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'adam. It creates a barrier between Hashem and man. And as we know, Mesil Sharn tells us that we're here in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that everything that we do is in order to come closer to Him. And that the physicality can be a blockage. Now I understand the challenge here. Achashverosh is having a party mimicking the Beis HaMikdash. It is within 70 years after the Churban. They're still fresh in their mind. There were people who were around at that time. How could they be sitting and enjoying the physical feast from the very things connected with the Beis HaMikdash and turning the physical Beis HaMikdash into a place of Chumrius and Olam Hazeh? Rabbi, as we saw, the point of the Beis HaMikdash was to take the physical and elevate it to the spiritual. What does Achashverosh do? He turns it on its head. He takes all the aspects of the Beis HaMikdash, and then what does he do? He focuses exclusively on the physical aspect. It is totally ignoring completely all spiritual aspects going on here. It's all about physicality. It is the antithesis of what the Beis HaMikdash is about. Klal Yisrael are sitting and enjoying at such a meal. Klal Yisrael are participating in such a meal. Klal Yisrael have now sung to the lowest of the low. Where instead of not just being able to take the physical and elevate it to the spiritual, they're taking the spiritual and they're moving it down to the physical. It is the ultimate in a lack of living a world the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned it. Is it any wonder that they were worthy of being destroyed? Is it any wonder that they have severed their connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They've misunderstood. They're totally off on what we're supposed to be doing here in this world. Habaya lo ita mahim achlusham, the asterisk in 31. Habaya ita shef sharla novli nane bekazem akom. How could you have any pleasure? Sharei mishinich nas mamatim besimcha. When Av comes, we lessen our joy. How can you be happy when there's no Beis HaMikdash? And now you're taking the replay of the Beis HaMikdash and you're being joyful for it? How could this be? Now I understand that it's not only that they enjoy from this meal, they're mamish over what the Torah and religion is about. The Chumash tells us, Shmor Nafshecha, watch yourself that you never forget Mamon Har Sinai. You know what Mamon Har Sinai is about? It's about what Torah is about, by taking the physicality and elevating it to spirituality. By enjoying this meal, they've severed their whole connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hence, they need to have a re-kimu v'kiblu, a re-acceptance of Torah. And when they're re-accepting the Torah, what they're doing is re-accepting the relationship with Hashem, and to a large degree, as the Ramban points out, the Mishkan was a miniature base, a miniature Har Sinai. The moment that they have a kimu v'kiblu, that we accept the Torah, what they're really doing is re-accepting what the mission of the Beis HaMikdash is. They're re-accepting what they're supposed to be doing here in this world, and that is to take the physicality and raise it up to spirituality. Mishenichnas Av mimati mesimcha, just like in Av, our joy decreases, likewise in Adar, when we learn the lesson and we understand what the Beis HaMikdash is about, and we understand what it means to take the physical and elevate it to the spiritual, in Adar we have that simcha. It's a simcha of understanding of our purpose in this world, understanding what our connection is in this world. And with this we can appreciate, the Mota Labina points out at 35, the argument between Esther and Mordechai, when Mordechai is wearing sackcloth and Esther gives him clothes. Esther is saying, Mordechai, don't you understand that if you're wearing sackcloth, you're feeding into Haman, you're feeding into Esav, you're wearing, your outer clothes are not befitting what Malchus is about. Take royal clothes, elevate it to the spiritual. And Mordechai responds and says, hold on a second, I can't do that. Klal Yisrael aren't on a level of taking the physical and moving into the spiritual. That would be fine when everything was normal. But they have severed the connection. They first have to do tshuva. They first have to be able to repent. They have to go to the extreme to come to the middle. They have to wear sackcloth. They have to really take off all clothes, so to speak, put on sackcloth, and only then realize where they have fallen to. And only after they've realized where they've fallen to, can they now get dressed up and be able to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the appropriate way. And that is why the Yeshua is described as a Mordechai Yatzah Milfnei HaMelech B'Levush Malchut. Hainu deyatso mikbikde adam harishom rishuto shal Esav Haman uvalu rishuto shal Yaakov Mordechai yatsua begadim michlal bigde or venasu bigde or. When Mordechai is going out on that horse, the pasuk we say out loud, what is the significance of this? Mordechai is showing everybody. It's a symbol, and that's why there's such joy. What's the joy? The joy is the joy in the clothing of Yaakov versus the clothing of Esav. It's the clothing of Mordechai over the clothing of Haman. It's understanding that we're able to take the physical and elevate it. Klal Yisrael at that time lost their clothing. They had to wear sakva efer yitzala rabim. They had to lose their clothing because they lost the vision of what clothing is about. Clothing is just a catchphrase for the physical, which needs to be elevated. They took the physical, the spiritual, and they abused it. Klal Yisrael had to go to the extreme. They had to wear sakva efer. They had to understand that life is about only spirituality, only being able to have the focus of enjoyment for the sake of Torah, enjoyment for the sake of Shabbat, to be able to reorient themselves. At the moment that they did tshuva and they reoriented themselves, the vision that the Megillah gives us is Mordechai going out. B'lifnei HaMelech, B'lvush Malchut. What is the ultimate Malchut? It's the Big Day Adam HaRishon. It's the Begadim of Or that Mordechai was able, and that was a joy of being able to bring the people to a level of understanding that these beautiful clothes is just a vision for us, like the clothes of the Kohen, to be able to lead a life of spirituality, to take the physicality and be able to bring it to an entirely different dimension. With this, my friends, we can now appreciate the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Sadi Kei Siv Katan Bet, when the Shulchan Aruch says, Chayiv Inish L'Musume B'Pur Yad L'Yadah Ben Avraham Al-Varach Mordechai, person has to get drunk, so he doesn't know the difference. In this Ramah here, he brings down, and I quote, based on the Maharil, Yesh shenahagu lobosh big day Shabbos v'yantif b'purim. There are those who have accustomed to wear Shabbos and Oryantif clothes on Purim. V'chein nachon, and this is a correct custom. On this, the Avnei Nezer asks, what is significance of wearing big day Shabbos? On Purim, we highlight the fact that the special clothes of Adam HaRishon, with all they represent, belong with the Jewish people. My friends, this is our job on Purim. On Purim, when we wear Big Day Shabbos, yes, there's an aspect of dressing up, but the dressing up is covering our Big Day Shabbos. Ultimately, we're wearing Shabbos clothes, we're wearing Yontif clothes. What does this represent, my friends? It represents a lesson to all of us on Purim. That when we wear these clothes, we understand that we are expected to be of a certain standard. We are expected to then exude that standard to others. And ultimately, we're expected to have this standard in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Purim is like Yom Kippur, but Purim is even higher. To serve Hashem on Yom Kippur when you're fasting and standing in shul day, of course it's spirituality. You want to know what's even greater? Is that Purim, with all of its physicality, Purim, with all of its nash, with all of its food, with all of its fun, with all of its merrymaking, what is our challenge? It's the begotten Big Day Shabbos. Mordechai Yatzah B'Levush Malchus. It's to be able to take the physical and remember to elevate it to the spiritual. To take the food that we're given and really make sure to say brachos with kavana on Purim. To be careful about tashrit. To be able to give to people who really need. It's to be able to be sensitive to those around us on Purim. Purim is a time of the greatest challenge of living in the physical world. Adelo yata. It's beyond the das. To take that world and to say to ourselves, and to live, and our Big Day Shabbos is a reminder that we have to take the physical and elevate it to the spiritual, the Or with an Ayin to the Or with the Aleph. And when we do that, and we live Purim with an awareness and sensitivity, that with all that fun and merrymaking, we can't insult people. With all that fun and merrymaking, we have to be sensitive to the needs of others, because we're living a life of spirituality. It's not just a life of physicality. When we do that, then our Big Day Shabbos become really Big Day Or, and then we can really appreciate, like Yehudim Haita Ora, the Simcha, the Sason, the Yikar.